to the latest edition of Blackhawks on Ice. I'm David Schuster, and this podcast is brought to you by DraftKings, and more from our sponsor in just a moment. On this podcast, we'll recap Sunday night's game against Detroit. We'll have post-game reaction, and you'll also hear from longtime writer Bruce Miles, who I interviewed even before the game. And before the game even started, we did find out that Patrick Kane wasn't available due to COVID protocols, so he did miss the contest. Okay, now to the game, and it wasn't a pretty picture, as for the sixth straight time, the opposition scored first, with Lucas Raymond lighting the lamp for the Red Wings, before it was Tyler Johnson tying the game up with his first goal on the season for the Hawks. But from there, it was downhill as the Wings kept the pressure up continuously. They had 19 shots on goal in the second period, and ultimately 37 for the game. Raymond did pick up a hat trick for the Wings with his final tally coming on the power play. The Hawks were 1-for-4 with the man advantage. They did have 16 shots on their four power play instances, and they have now scored a power play goal in 5 of their opening 6 games. But on the night, too many penalties, too many missed chances, and it was all said and done, another loss. And also, unfortunately, an NHL record established for starting a season with no leads in any games. The first 6 games, and it now stretches to over 360 minutes. And a streak came to an end on this night as the Hawks' sellout streak ended at 535 games. Jonathan Toews got into the scoring column for the first time this season, finally with a pair of assists. He also had a goal call back upon review. Toews, being the captain, met the media after the game.
Hi, Jonathan. You guys were in there a long time. Can you give us some sense of what was being said in the room after that one?
I mean, specifics of what's said in the locker room always stays in the locker room, but you can imagine that we're just trying to dig ourselves out of the hole that we've kind of gotten ourselves in after 6 games here. It's not a good feeling, and, you know, at the end of the day, the solution is in our locker room. It's everybody. So I think everyone's trying to take responsibility how they can be better and help our team and get in the win column.
Is that belief still there that the solution's in the room, that this team as currently constituted can turn this around?
100%. I mean, it's a horrible feeling. I don't think there's many guys that have been through anything like this before, but especially to start a season. But, you know, I think when things have gone well for us, or at least we're playing the right way and we're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, you know, we haven't found a way to generate any offense and get on the score sheet. And when things go bad for us, it just seems to kind of snowball. But again, we only have ourselves to blame for that. And, you know, so it's up to us to find solutions and find a way out of it just one shift at a time, even though, like I said, it's not a good feeling right now. And it's easy for your confidence to shrink when you're going through something like this.
Next up, we have Phil Thompson with the Trib. Phil, go ahead.
Jonathan, specifically, what do you think went wrong tonight, particularly in the second period?
You know, I just think we're not consistent enough with you know, how we're playing defensively and how hard we're making it for teams to get in our zone and create scoring chances. And, you know, top to bottom, I think our forwards have to help our D-men, and we're just making it too easy for teams to walk into our zone, get possession, stay in our zone, generate shots, win battles. So it's not the most, you know, complicated issues. I think it's just finding that consistency and not getting frustrated and staying with our game plan when things aren't clicking, when another team's coming at us.
Do you and the team still have faith in Jeremy?
Of course. I mean, you know, I think at this point, you know, like I said, there's details to our game that when we've done them and we've stuck to them, we have 4 lines rolling that do things right. It's a fun way to play and everyone feeds off of it, but we just haven't done it enough. So, you know, as a group, we want to decide to do that and commit ourselves to each other. And, you know, it's not like we decide to wait 6 games to do it, but there's been times where we have. It just hasn't been enough and it hasn't been good enough. So we got to find a way to commit to each other. And, you know, I think that's what we want to do. We want to start winning games. We want to have some fun playing hockey because we know we're performing you know, we're performing much or much less than we can, I guess. So it's underwhelming.
Next, we have Scott Powers with The Athletic. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, Jonathan, you mentioned how this is kind of a new challenge. You've never been through probably something like this, you know. What for you as a captain, what's important? How do you kind of direct this team right now?
Well, like I said, you know, I'm trying to better my game every single day, and there's mistakes that I've been making that I have to take responsibility for. So, you know, I think in the room we're just encouraging guys to bring their own form of leadership, to know that they can bring the team up, and it's up to every single guy. So same goes for me.
Is there a sense?
Get cut off.
Is there a sense when you guys get down that there's something that's clicking off? It seems like, even against the last two games, you guys had stretches where you played well, but then they score and some of that just kind of falls apart.
Yeah, for sure. And I think when the bounces are going against us, we're letting it affect us a little bit too much. So sometimes that happens, and little things, whether it's calls or, you know, offensive breaks or even goals against, that kind of, you know, you get that sinking feeling in your stomach and your confidence gets chipped away at a little bit. We just have to be a little bit mentally tougher and not get phased. It's just part of the game. You're not going to control every aspect of the game. There's a lot of unpredictability out there. So we got to make a decision as a group to be just collectively stronger.
And before we hear from Jeremy Colleton, a word from DraftKings. And the NBA is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, the key to victory is a strong starting five. New customers can bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. So why not make your roster Washington, 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 and oh yeah, Washington. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get skin in the game with new same game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TBPN. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code TBPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. You must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And now let's hear from Jeremy Colleton as he talked to the media right after the game.
Well, I think it's a step back from the last two games. We did a lot of good things, I thought, against New York and Vancouver. Weren't rewarded for it, but we gotta do it for longer and be willing to stick with it. And I thought too much of tonight was slip back into the things that got us in trouble on the road trip, and we paid the price for it. So there's no secrets as far as what we got to do. I think everyone knows, and we got to find a way. So we'll go back to work tomorrow.
First question is from Mark Lazarus with The Athletic. Mark, go ahead.
Hey, Jeremy, that seemed to be a long team meeting after the game. Were you involved in that? Was that players only? And if you were, what was your message?
Yeah, I think, again, we got to keep it in-house. I've said a lot. I don't think I need to say more. And I think they have a lot of pride. And we expect to respond tomorrow and the day after and when we play Toronto.
Seth Jones and Jonathan Toews both said they have 100% faith in you. Do you feel you have that from the management too?
Of course. I think, again, there's no secrets for how we got to play. We know what we got to do. And obviously it's up to me to find a way to get that to translate. So, you know, thought we had, as I said, in the beginning, I think we had two much better efforts. Defensively, details of the game. We weren't rewarded with goals and wins. But we got to get back to that. And I understand that results are the only thing that matters in the end, but that's how you get there. How you get the results is by doing the right thing over and over and over again. I don't think we did that tonight.
Next question is Phil Thompson with the Trib. Phil, go ahead.
Jeremy, I know it's kind of outside your realm, but Danny Wirst felt the need to address the end of the sellout streak. Do you feel that the fans have kind of turned and have lost faith in the team?
I think when you're not playing well, that's not a surprise. I think it's up to us to play better. And I believe we have the makings of a good group. We haven't put it together yet, so we need to. And I feel like we can play a brand of hockey and be a team that people in Chicago are proud of. But we got to deliver.
Again, another early goal. You don't get the first goal that you wanted. What else can you do at this point to try to turn that around?
I think it's ultimately it's about doing the right thing every shift, and you know, you can go through the goals one at a time. You can go through the chances we give up. A lot of it's self-inflicted. You're not going to play a perfect game and limit all the chances against, but you can make them earn what they get. I don't think we did that tonight.
Next up is Ben Pope. Ben, go ahead.
Hey, Jeremy. In the timeout in the third period, it looked like you handed the whiteboard to the players for them to drop a play. Was there any, you know, meaning to that moment?
No. I think, obviously, without, you know, different players in the lineup, we've had to adjust as far as the 5-on-3 and the 4-on-3 and all that. But I think at that point there's only 7 seconds left in the power play, so I don't have all the best ideas. I'm open to coming up with something different. I think they had a pretty good play. They drew up, and if I'm not mistaken, just got deflected. Brinksy's one timer there, so nothing strange about that.
I know you said it after morning skate that the lineup wasn't set. With all the moving pieces, did you know well in advance what the lineup would be, or was it kind of, you know, chaos down to the last second and trying to figure that out?
No, we knew in the afternoon, but again, with the situation we're in, with COVID, things can change at the last minute. So we got to be ready to adjust, and that's just how it is.
Next question is from Scott Powers of The Athletic. Scott, you can go ahead.
Hey, Jeremy, obviously so much goes through Patrick Kane. Was there any adjustment did you see from your guys tonight having to play without him?
I think Patty's a great player, no question. So I don't want to discount the hole that he leaves, but ultimately it's not what we lost. We got to play more similar to how we did the two games previous, and you know, obviously there's areas even in those games we can play better, but tonight was a step back, and to me that's what it comes down to, and that's what we'll focus on is we got to go forward, not backwards.
The last question is from Charlie Romeliotis from NBC Sports. Charlie, you can go ahead.
Hey, Jeremy, how deflating is a night like tonight where you were making some minimal progress in the process, but take a step back as far as the game and the result?
It's not the game we wanted to have, that's for sure. You know, if you lose but you feel like you're keep improving and you keep pushing, you have confidence that you're gonna break through. We got to get back to that. That's got to be the focus here for tomorrow and the next day and then the game. We got to respond.
And finally, even before the game started, I had a chance to speak with longtime writer and reporter Bruce Miles, and we chatted about his longtime association with Blackhawks hockey.
All right, Bruce, when you think about the Blackhawks and hockey, what's your oldest first memories?
I think my first memories were in the 1960s watching the road games, of course, only road games on Channel 9 with the great Lloyd Pettit. doing the games and just a shot and a goal. It was just, it hooked me. The speed of the game. There were only six teams, so I knew all the players and just loved players like Bobby Hull, Stan Mikita, and Glenn Hall. So those were my first memories of the game.
Were you like me on a Saturday night where you would stay home and watch it, and then after the news it was Creature Features or something like that? That was my Saturday night.
Oh, absolutely. Saturday nights at home were appointment viewing with the Blackhawks. I remember the games from the Forum in Montreal, and Lloyd always telling us the announcements will be made first in French, then in English, Maple Leaf Gardens, always Saturday night around the TV, and then afterwards, like you said, the news and some Creature Features, maybe if I could stay up that long.
Right. I remember the first time I came to a game at the old Chicago Stadium, I couldn't believe how loud it was. Do you have that same memory?
Yes, it was in the early 70s when they were cup contenders. It wasn't quite when they were cheering during the national anthem, but whenever the Hawks would score a goal or somebody was announced big, it was loud. You could feel the place vibrate, and I was here later for the later in the years for the 91 All-Star game. That was as loud as I've ever heard the building, and honestly, I did feel the building vibrate that afternoon.
Okay, do you remember when the Hawks, I don't know what kind of memory you had, when the Hawks actually lost that Stanley Cup? I think it was in 71, if I'm not mistaken. Montreal scored a couple of late goals, yada, yada.
Yes, it was May 18th, 1971. The Hawks had a 2-0 lead in the series and a 2-0 lead in Game 7. Jacques Lemaire scored from just across the center line against Tony Esposito in the fog because it was a warm day, and the old stadium wasn't quite like the United Center with air conditioning. But yes, they scored three unanswered goals. It was one of the most heartbreaking defeats in Chicago history. I don't think a lot of people ever got over it, frankly, who follow the Hawks.
And how about when the team won the three Stanley Cups in the span of 5 or 6 years, you know, about a decade ago at this point?
Well, yeah, I just think that it really quenched the thirst. My family members, my wife especially, she just let out a primal scream when the Hawks won that in Philadelphia. I was actually covering the Cubs that night in Milwaukee, and I didn't have the sound up. The press box didn't, so I had no idea that they couldn't find the puck or didn't know what happened. I looked up and I said, oh, the Blackhawks just won the Stanley Cup, because I saw Patrick Kane celebrating. But yeah, what a decade. What a decade for sports and hockey in this city.
You know, fan bases are all very fanatical, I guess is the right word. But what is it about Blackhawk fans with this team, more often when they win than when they don't win? But even when they don't win, they're so into this team.
Yeah, I think it's one of those where it's always been kind of the fourth team, or basketball, baseball, football were always ahead of hockey. The Hawks fans had this kind of this special pride in being the cult sport followers, and just it was just such an event. Wednesday nights and Sunday nights at the stadium were just such events. The home games weren't on TV, so there was a little bit of mystery about coming down here, but I just think it was the cult sport. The fans knew the team, they knew the sport, and there was a special kind of pride in that, I think.
We're about the same age. What was it like the first time? I remember growing watching Bobby Hull and Mikita and all those kind of guys, but the first time I met them, I almost had chills. Did you have the same effect?
Yeah, absolutely. I was in an airport one time. My son was 3 years old. This was when I was an adult, and my son, I told him, I said, do you know who that is? I said, that's Bobby Hull. I went over, asked for an autograph, and he said, what's your son's name? And I said, it's Steven. He goes, does he spell it with a V or a PH? He gladly signed. And I interviewed those guys over the years many times. Just so gracious. Stan Mikita, Glenn Hall, Bobby Hull. Just, it was my feeling that, you know, they lived up to what they were supposed to be.
And a final thought, what about this year's team? I mean, tough start to begin the season. It is a long season, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought coming into the training camp seemed to be a good one. The Blackhawks right now are having trouble generating goals 5-on-5. That really has to change for this team. Nowadays in the National Hockey League, if you fall behind early, you spend the entire season trying to catch up, and you expend so much energy doing that. And the Hawks are behind the eight ball already, so it's really time, even though it's October, for them to get it going, David.
So the Hawks fall to 0-5-1 with their next game coming up on Wednesday night here at the United Center against Toronto. So thank you to Bruce, by the way, for joining us here on Blackhawks on Ice. And in case anyone was wondering, even though the Hawks have started the season with no wins in their first games, six games, the Hawks started the 1999-2000 season winless in their first eight games. Once again, the next game coming up is Wednesday night at the United Center against Toronto. Thanks for listening to Blackhawks on Ice.